T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Danny Meringue.
I found 2 empty bottles of a particularly decent Chateau Noir Bordeaux 57 in your rubbish.
Dusty Hera.
You went through my garbage?
This is Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app.
I find it particularly offensive that you use them to wash down an order from something called Macho Taco.
And Portland's sports leader, 1080.
I would never drink a Bordeaux with a Macho Taco.
The Fan.
It was a burrito machissimo.
Hour number 2, Danny and Dusty with you. Thanks for being part of our day, letting us be a part of yours. There's a video that I want everybody to watch because we need to discuss it at some point. I tweeted it out at Dusty_Hera.
I'll grab it from the show account because I've watched it and it's tremendous content.
There is a truck. It's like the caption of it is truck tumbles off overpass today in Pasadena, Texas,
which is a terrible headline considering what actually transpired.
The video, I don't understand what happened, because there's a person that like comes out of nowhere in this video, and I don't know if he like bailed out of the truck window as it was rolling and going off of the overpass, or he was like laying, like he saw the truck coming and he laid down and it rolled right over him like something in a movie. But this dude just stands up like he's just fine. Like, whoa, what happened here? I don't get it.
Woke up mid-roll.
I need answers, but it's a terrifying video. And he just pops right up like, oh man, where'd my truck go? So if you have answers, let's talk about it at 503-250-1080 or at Danny and Dusty. Or at Dusty_Hera, Nate has chimed in. He said, it looks like he just jumps out of the window and does a tuck and roll. Yeah, kind of does. I need to know what's going on in that.
Yeah, no, it looks like one of those like crazy videos that you don't believe is real, but it absolutely looks like somebody just unbuckles their seatbelt, got the centrifugal force, and like hopped out of a dryer in the tumble cycle.
Yeah, that's a great way to describe it. I mean, if I
in the middle of a storm of a truck rolling down the freeway at like 60 miles an hour and off a bridge.
Yeah.
Let me go ahead and add all the other specifics there that make this story even more insane.
Okay. Let's start off hour number 2 talking a little college foosball here, as we are, I think college football season starts next weekend.
Yeah, week 0.
Zero week.
Which, what was it? Is it Nebraska, Northwestern is the highlight game there?
We are 13 days away, or 15 days away from the Ducks and Beavs getting their season started September 3rd.
You and Senor Dirt will be down in Georgia.
Yeah.
In Georgia.
Oh, going to be listening to a lot of Ray Charles.
There you go.
But the Pac-12 slate is an interesting one. And there is USA Today, their football wire. They did a ranking of every single Pac-12 team's biggest conference game. Not their biggest game of the year, because
conference game.
I think it is pretty clear that, you know, if you look at Oregon, their biggest game is obviously against Georgia this year, right?
And you've got Michigan State up there, and you've got
Michigan State against Washington. State. You have games like, well, USC, Notre Dame.
Yeah.
That is going to be a massive non-conference game. There are massive games across this conference, but if you look at the in conference play, taking a look at the schools, you can kind of glean off of which teams are in it and which teams are not, right? Mm-hmm. And the teams to beat, in which we already know, are Oregon, Utah, USC, right? In probably not that order. It's Utah, Oregon, USC, because mm-hmm. those are teams that won the conference, played in the conference championship, and then the one with that has obviously the most hype behind it this year for obvious reasons in a coach, quarterback, and wide receiving core that is unreal in USC. But what does it say, like, when you look at it and you say, Oregon, what would their biggest conference game be this year? In having, I think their conference schedule, it's favorable.
Yes, I would say that of those three teams, they have the most favorable schedule.
Oregon, they have USA Today says Utah is the Ducks' biggest conference game this year, and that's a home game. And this is Oregon's conference schedule being favorable. It has. They do miss USC, but mm-hmm. they have all of their tough games this year are at home. And when you look at the way the schedule sets up for them in conference play, they start at Washington State. Then they have Stanford at home, to Arizona, which has always been a tough place for them. Mm-hmm. Then UCLA at home on the 22nd, which I would probably put up there on their conference schedule as well. UCLA,
they're going to be a good team.
They are going to be a good team. And they had a ton of turnover with their, we talk about how much USC gained in the transfer portal. Well, so did UCLA. Yeah. They were active.
Honestly, after USC, UCLA was the second most active and engaged in the transfer portal.
And then you go on the road at Cal in Colorado, mm-hmm. which if you're asking for games that you want to have on the road, those would be the ones. Yeah. With home games against Washington, Utah, and then on the road at Oregon State. And I find it very interesting, too, the placement of that Utah game and the importance of that Utah game. You talk about three massive games in conference play. Mm-hmm. Rivalry game, best team in the conference, rivalry game. All in a row to end it for Oregon. Yep. And the USA Today having that Utah game, it's not just because they played in a conference title game last year. Utah rolled them in both of their matchups that they had. Physically dominated them. It is, I think, the placement of that game. You cannot have a letdown in any way, shape, or form when you go rivalry game, big game, rivalry game.
Yeah, building up to that is one thing, but building up to that and carrying it through, that's the difference between what we talked about, the Ducks being an 8-4 team or a 10-2 team. Mm-hmm. That's this part of the schedule, yeah. is whether or not they can get this stuff squared away. Can they get back over on Utah, which on paper Utah looks like to be the best team in the conference? I don't think anybody's really going to argue that.
Well, I don't think it's even on paper either. I mean, they've done it on the field too.
Exactly. They're returning a ton of their very top end guys in Clark Phillips on the defensive side of the ball, Cam Rising on the offensive side of the ball. Even if though they lost a couple guys to the NFL, they're still loaded.
Yeah.
But Oregon's not sitting here, you know, out here begging for scraps. This is not Oregon 20 years ago where, hey, they're good for a couple years and then there's a letdown year and a rebuild. Like, are they resetting a little bit? I want to call it recalibrating, because mm-hmm. they have talent on both sides of the pole. There's no,
very much so. All year last year, the conversation was 2022 is the year.
So why, you know, exactly. Why is the expectation? Because there is a lot of changes. Like, yeah. switching out your quarterback, switching out your entire coaching tree is a big, big turnover. But there's a reason why there's optimism around Oregon. And this is everything during the season is going to build to this 3-week stretch.
And that Utah game obviously is a massive one wedged in between two rivalry games. Oregon State, I found they just put Oregon in, and I think that's a cop out. It is a rivalry game. Mm-hmm. You know, the reasoning that they have behind it is, you know, a win or loss could mean whether Oregon State goes to a bowl game for a second straight year. I disagree with that being Oregon State's, you know, biggest game of the year in conference play, because I look at the start of their conference slate as that game against USC at home.
Yeah.
And how well they have played USC, and they're coming off of three tests for Oregon State.
Yes.
Boise State, the Mountain West favorite, at Fresno State, mm-hmm. Where you have to go on the road to a team that returns its quarterback and was very talented a year ago. And then you have Montana State, fourth in the FCS preseason polls. that September 24th game, starting conference play, you have USC, then you hit the road to Utah after that. That's a tone setter for the rest of their schedule.
We keep talking about Oregon State and Oregon as far as their schedules go. Oregon's is a slow burn build after, obviously, the Georgia game, but Oregon State's is a gauntlet to start the season. It's incredibly tough to start the season. Boise State, Fresno State, Montana State, Utah, Stanford. That is and you're right. And no matter how good USC has been over the last, good or bad, USC has been over the last 20 years, Oregon State has been a thorn in their side.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember Greg Laybourne, you know, sealing an interception and really kind of marking the downfall of USC post Pete Carroll. That was mm-hmm. the first real, it was 2008.
Mm-hmm.
That was kind of like marked the uh-oh period of USC, and Oregon State kind of heralded that in. So that is a game that, I mean, me as a USC guy, I'm looking at that game as the first kind of real test in conference after Stanford. It's like you've got...
That's also the time of the year where Oklahoma would always lose that inexplicable game too under Lincoln Riley.
Uh-huh. And that's if you don't think that's on my mind, you're absolutely crazy, because USC, you're starting with Rice. So I'm not exactly worried about that particular game, but they go Stanford, Fresno State, Oregon State. And you look at how Oregon State's going to build. If Oregon State, let's say Oregon State goes 2-1 in their first three, like they lose a close one to either Fresno State or Boise State, and they take care of Montana State, which they shouldn't like go out there and beat the hell out of them, but they should do well against them as an FCS school. However, they are a very good FCS school.
Yeah, even a good FCS school, I think Oregon State, you should win that one handily.
You should see moments where Montana State looks like, that's a pretty talented team. But
for sure,
Oregon State should handle it. My overall point being, it should be a build for Oregon State, where I think they're going to be very well tested by the time they take on USC.
Yeah. I found this one pretty interesting in that the only game that was not within conference that they used was USC Notre Dame, November 25th. Because, look,
it's pretty presumptive.
Oregon's game against Georgia is massive.
Mm-hmm.
And they say that if everything goes, you know, to plan, this could be for a playoff spot here. I look at this and I go, man, if I'm SC, I may worry about Utah on the road October 15th. I think that game is going to have much more than the season finale, because you want to talk about a brand of football that has given USC issues. It's Utah, too.
Mm-hmm.
Utah's brand of football, the style, the physicality that they play with, the fact that they are going to Salt Lake City in mid-October where it's not 70 degrees and sunny out. And if Utah has their way, they'll play that game at night. So it's a little bit colder. It's not going to be as nice. Like that would be Utah's dream is to have a night game against USC that day.
Here's the thing with SC. They have an easier schedule than I ever saw coming when I first kind of looked at this. But everything you were talking about, as far as the style that has bothered USC, mm-hmm. Clay Helton was terrible on the recruiting front. There's no secret about that. Particularly in the trenches. They got a couple guys every year, but they weren't what they had been, which is sending a platoon of linemen on both sides of the ball to the NFL year after year after year. Utah has supplanted USC in that vein in this conference. They are the team now that sends linemen year after year after year to the NFL. If USC can get through their early schedule, which Rice, Stanford, Fresno State, Oregon State, Arizona State, Washington State, basically all the state schools, clean, which if they're the team they're supposed to be, they should.
Mm-hmm.
This is really the only trip up they should have in the schedule until they get to UCLA, Notre Dame in the last two games of the season, because they finish with Arizona, Cal, Colorado, UCLA.
Yeah.
I think you're exactly right. We're putting the cart before the horse when we're talking about the season-ending game against Notre Dame.
Yep.
Because smack dab in the middle of the season, it's significantly more important than a game that could derail things.
It's going to be huge.
Much sooner.
And then, I think what was the kind of the interesting note that you can kind of glean off of this is Washington State, They both signal that the Oregon games for both of those schools are going to be the most important on their schedules. And you've got two new coaches coming in. Mm-hmm. And I think what that more says is what was formerly the North Division, even though that is not technically a thing anymore. We do know that scheduling, they still play North. Yeah. The schedule is still the same. The North schedule is still
how it
was when divisions were there. They're saying that that former North Division is exactly, it's Oregon and then kind of everybody else when you look at Washington State, Oregon State, their measuring stick is all going to be Oregon. Where Oregon is. Yeah. And for Stanford and for Stanford, they have USC and I believe Cal. Gosh, who did they have for Cal? Because that's not even coming up for me anymore. I think that one was SC as well. Or no, it was Stanford, I think.
It's actually Washington.
Oh, Washington.
Yeah, it has October 22nd versus Washington.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
As kind of that middle pack, middle of the pack?
Yeah, I guess that's the kind of deciding the, you know, quasi-mid-season spot of, hey, this is where you fit in the the other category. Because I think, barring injuries, we're all pretty sure Utah, Oregon, USC, that's the top three. And then they're six teams in the middle.
Yeah.
Like if I told you if any of those six teams it finished fourth in the conference, would you be surprised? Like if I told you Oregon State was fourth in the conference, would you be surprised?
Not one bit.
Stanford?
No.
UCLA?
No.
Oregon State?
No. I honestly could see Stanford, and I said this as one of my surprises in this text. At 503-250-1080 says, you know, Stanford might surprise. I think Stanford will surprise people.
Stanford's going to screw somebody's season. And listen, as somebody who's seen it happen with the USC more times than I care to count, they're going to stomp on somebody's toes and ruin a season.
They return their quarterback.
Their offensive line.
Their entire offensive line. Their two best receivers. They've got
the
two
back
running
half
backs.
Of their defense.
They got the best corner in the league.
Yep.
Their defensive stopping the run and their offensive line, they could not run the ball as effectively as Stanford has in years past. But you're telling me that David Shaw has his offensive line for the entire thing for two consecutive years and they're not going to improve? You're crazy. Yeah. I'm not going to buy that. Your running backs, oh, by the way, are Emmett Smith's kid and Casey Filkins, who is going to be the backup, which, you know, he's local, went to Lake Oswego. Mm-hmm. He is one that you sit there and you look at, that young man is shifty out of the backfield. He is not Christian McCaffrey, but they will use him in that vein.
In that vein, yeah. He's going to
where he can come out of the backfield and he's your scat back. He's your kick returner as well. He is your Swiss Army knife that you can use all over the field for Stanford. They are going to be dangerous this year. Can they stop anybody? Well, I don't know. But they'll be able to score points. And the one thing that Stanford always has done, because their front seven, they've been very good at linebacker.
Yeah,
they've been hit and miss on their defensive line at times, but their offense protects their defense better than anybody else in this conference.
They don't make mistakes.
With the exception of Utah, in that they will grind out drives. Mm-hmm. They will play the time of possession game and go old school football, and that could be the determining factor. Last year, they couldn't do that because they couldn't run the ball effectively. Yeah. This year, I think they will. Stanford may be the surprise of the conference this year.
I think it's a double-edged sword in this conference right now, as far as like how many teams could be the surprise, in that teams are certainly better, but it also kind of tells you that it's definitely unsteady at the top.
A couple more texts coming your way at 503-250-1080. We will get to those. We've also, this hour, we have the worst on the web coming up in 10 minutes from now. We will have to get to the Tom Brady conspiracy theory this hour, though, because this one's great. This one's it has nothing to do with football. At all. Kind of. That's why he's not there.
Nah, I mean, nah.
Danny Dusty on the Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And Watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field. It's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Danny and Dusty on the Fan.
I 503-250-1080. We're talking about biggest games for each of the Pac-12 teams. And we're talking about, you know, Oregon State versus Montana State. And this text says, Washington said, be careful with those FCS schools from Montana.
They'll snake up and bite you.
A big difference. There is no Jimmy Lake roaming the sidelines for Oregon State. I think Jonathan Smith's going to have his guys locked in. Former Montana coach Jonathan Smith, not Montana State. So he has a good solid hate for the Cats.
I say the Cats, right? Yeah.
This text says, you know, biggest game for Oregon State is Washington State. October 15th. Hey, October 15th may be a hell of a week for the Pac-12 schedule. Because you have that game, Oregon State, Washington State, which is in Corvallis. You also have the Utah-USC game that week.
Stanford-Notre Dame.
And then Stanford-Notre Dame is that week as well. That's a great little week
week of scheduling.
Pac-12 football. Yeah. I mean, I think Oregon has a bye and Washington plays Arizona, but...
The big slate games
are
good.
Three good games,
three bangers.
Woo-hoo.
Yeah, no, I mean, because you look at the week to week, and it's like there's a good matchup or two every week, but there's some rough matches in there. I'm not gonna lie.
It is the Pac-12 schedule.
Exactly.
Yeah. It says, you know, the home game against Washington State, huge swing game versus a team that's had their number the last handful of years, and that is. That's a great one for Oregon State. Is it your barometer game? No. But there's just some teams, and everybody knows, there are just some teams that play you different. Mm-hmm. And Washington State and Oregon State are that. That's why I so badly want those two teams to have a little bit of a rivalry. Like, you have Oregon, Washington, hey, they have their rivalry. Washington State and Oregon State, their fans are just like so much like, hey, we both hate Oregon and Washington, right? All right, so we're going to call a truce here. No, you guys should, there should be some vitriol there between those two, because Cougs do have the Beavs number. That should be annoying.
I love how there's like this crossbreeding of like teams having each other's numbers that doesn't really make a ton of sense.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like Oregon State has USC's number, and then Washington State has Oregon State's number. And then you have...
Well, Washington State has Oregon's number, too. They play them very tough.
Washington State has Oregon's number. And then it's just... You always have these weird little... Arizona is a place that has bothered Oregon going down to.
Going to Arizona has been hell.
So there's always these little pockets that are always very, very interesting. And no matter who's playing or what class, or it just seems to keep happening somehow, some way.
Yeah. And it would... I mean, you look at... where the Beavs are. Shoot, when's the last time the Beavs beat the Cougs? I'm going back. I don't know. Was it before Gary Anderson? It may have been Mike Riley was the last coach to beat the Cougs. Because I go back and I...
got five straight on him?
Mike Leach was humming against the Beavs for a while. Yeah, I don't know. I can't even tell you the last time I think the Beavs beat the Cougs. No, 2013. Sean Mannion threw for 493 yards. Brandon Cooks had 137 yards receiving and was the leading rusher for the team with 34 yards rushing for Oregon State.
My
52
God.
52-24. It was 2013.
You're kidding me. It's been 9 years?
Yeah.
Or eight, and this will be year nine.
Yeah. I mean, that...
I didn't think it'd been that long. I thought it'd been five.
That is wild to think about. That's a long time.
Stuff like this, it just seemingly happens. And you look at it and you go, what the hell? How did that happen?
Well, Gary Anderson. I'll put Gary Anderson at the top of that list right there.
Fair.
My goodness gracious. All right, 503-250-1080. We'll take some more of your biggest games of each of the Pac-12 teams' schedule. We'll have that coming up this hour. But the worst day on the web, Scott Frost. Take a bow, everybody. Here's Schulze with SportsCenter.
It's time for today's worst day on the web with Danny and Dusty on Odyssey and 1080 The Fan.
Man, that sucked!
All right, we may have to put a poll up and have a vote. Who's having the worst day on the web? Is it Scott Frost, head coach at the University of Nebraska, who is taking ricochet shots after what I think he meant as to say it as like a badge of honor, but it's not coming off that way. When talking about his offensive line, he said Coach Donovan Riola is coaching his position group intensely at the offensive line to the point where Frost estimates there's about 15 to 20 vomits every practice from the O-line. He said it's not that they're not in shape, they're just working them hard. I think they love it. He's kind of freed them up to go and be aggressive, and I love the way they're coming off the ball. And people are like, wait, 15 to 20 vomits every practice? That's not healthy, man, in any way, shape, or form.
No, and this has definitely got the tinge of, hey, I was a former very good offensive lineman in the NFL, so I know what I'm doing. Stick to it.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
So, I don't know. That's...
okay.
15 to 20 seems excessive.
Yeah, it seems like maybe your guys need to stop eating before practice, or you're training like psychopaths out there.
Here's the thing.
I mean, obviously he's saying it like tongue-in-cheek, but it's also like people are going, well, if some – like that may be one of the biggest things that's changed in like football world and like performance training is like you don't need water anymore. You're only working hard if you're puking.
Yeah.
That's not true anymore.
Yeah. Well, there's
not true at all.
I will say, like, there are some military schools where they do it to push you to a mental limit, to a mental edge. But we're also talking about warfighters and not NFL players.
Well, this is college football. Yeah.
I mean, again, like the whole idea of where this kind of stuff comes from, and I think there is kind of a dividing line here. It's one thing to have one or two dudes kind of blowing chunks, right? But like.
Yeah. Yeah, it happens.
I am not anti-work until you heave-ho. But if, like, it's happening across the board, that's borderline problematic. Like, like if you've had, like, a puke can set up, like, you've gone too far.
I got some pukers. Maybe I'll spin this, and I'll just say, maybe your guys are so soft, they're just puking all the time,
yeah,
you know?
That's the real problem, Scott Frost.
Just real soft, guys.
You breed them soft out there.
Yeah, softies. But that may be like, when you think about it, what are the things that used to be a badge of honor that are no longer viewed as cool or smart or tough? Because that may be one of them.
Yeah. I mean, I think you could put that up there, like knocking somebody unconscious on a football field.
On a football field?
Yeah.
Oh, that's up there. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause that used to be like, you know, stand over
the crunch, hit, crunch time videos.
Hit him with a woo hit.
Yeah.
Woo.
Hmm. Yeah. The puking thing is, it's always gotten me. It's like, oh, no, worked so hard, I puked. It's like, well, you can do that, and that is okay if it's a one-off.
Shouldn't be happening all the time.
Not every day. And he's getting, there's a lot of ratios coming that article's way, as there are for this one in various places. But
the internet is undefeated.
I will read from the press release from Fox Sports. Big Noon Kickoff returns with its original cast. Rob Stone, Brady Quinn, Reggie Bush, Matt Leinart, and Urban Meyer together again on the road this fall. What? For the first time ever, Big Noon Kickoff travels each week of the season, previewing the day's best matchups from campuses across the nation. A brand new promo featuring the cast of Big Noon Kickoff and the Big Noon Saturday Game Crew debuts tomorrow, Saturday, August 20th, during Fox's Baseball Night in America. They are bringing Urban back. Who thought that was a good idea?
Who?
And then to travel him around the country.
Who wanted this?
Just wait till he goes to Columbus and they're set up out in front of Dublin's pub where he was seen getting grinded on. That led to his demise in Jacksonville.
I mean, how far removed are we from that? Are we even a year?
No. Oh, goodness. No, it was middle of last year. It was October or November of last year.
So we didn't even get the 1 year long redemption tour.
No. And they're screwing this thing up by, like, you know, there's going to be 800 fluff pieces about how Urban Meyer has redeemed himself and how much he's done some soul searching, and he's really worked on himself as a person, his relationship with his wife and his family. Mm-hmm. I think we've gone past that because you've already written that piece about Urban Meyer.
Three different times.
When he had his heart attack in Florida. And then remember when he made a contract and promises to his kids about how he's going to be present, he was going to be around, he wasn't going to let football take over his life again.
And then what happened at Ohio State?
Ohio State found out that his wide receivers coach was a domestic abuser.
Oh, and he covered that up.
Ignored it.
Same thing.
Yeah, it was more, ignored it, covered it up, and kind of brought him along. Yeah, and then in Jacksonville, not only was he stepping out on his wife, which I'm not going to act like that's probably not happening across college football and, I don't know, the country, the world, but
It was another log to the fire.
But no, the bigger part of this is he lost credibility as a
coach,
an authoritative figure in the football world, where everything was brought back to what he'd done at Ohio State, belittling his coaching staff,
mm-hmm.
kicking his kicker during his stretching line, you know, being the tough guy college football coach in the NFL where everybody's like, dude, who is this guy? You know, he took a hit reputationally. Now, I know he's doing college football here, and all this tells me is Urban Meyer is going to try to redeem himself for another college football job.
Oh, he's going to get one.
And that is the end game of all of this, and Urban Meyer being in the game of college football, I don't think it's a good thing for college football.
Not anymore.
No.
Not anymore.
No.
And that's the thing. I don't want to compare the two situations, but I look at him like I look at Antonio Brown, where it's like, it's just every year it's something new and different and worse.
Yeah.
And that's been the case with Urban Meyer, who, not to totally derail this, more than anything, you know what I want? Mm. I want the 30 for 30 on how Hernandez, Tebow, and Urban Meyer were on the same team with Cam Newton. And was Percy on that team too?
Well, I don't know if Percy Harvin. No, I don't think Percy Harvin was there. I think he was after that, but he might have been. But you had the Pouncey brothers too.
Pouncey brothers. Like the absolute insanity.
Who then end up wearing free Hernandez t-shirts. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I remember that. My eyes went wide like dinner plates. So I totally forgot about that whole thing. Free the guy who killed multiple people.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, like I'm saying, just again, it has seemingly gotten worse every year.
There's a lot of people, and the ratios are great, but can you imagine what is going to happen if people start going college game day signs? Because they say it right there, they're going to every campus, they're going to every single campus. Can you imagine if they go down that road there? And what those signs are going to say, and how well Urban Meyer, the egomaniac, is going to take that.
They're
going to
police those. They're going to police those.
I can't wait. I can't wait. Not to watch that, but I can't wait for the spectacle behind it.
They say that the periphery of it all, yeah. It's going to be an S show.
I can't believe they thought this is a good idea.
It's too soon. Like, even in the scumbag world of TV politics, where there's redemption tours for the worst people of all time. You have people who performed sexual acts in a Zoom conference, going back on a news station.
Yeah.
You've got a guy who steps out on his wife and supported domestic abuse, basically, in a roundabout way, and treated NFL players like subhumans. And
in every single place, with the exception of, I think, Utah, there has been a fire to put out when Urban Meyer leaves.
Yes. And I think the only reason that didn't happen in Utah is because of Kyle Whittingham.
Whittingham.
But yeah. Realistically, I think that's the only reason why. But even again, in the world of scumbag TV politics, where everybody is basically redeemable at some point, there has to be a finite amount of time that passes before you get that. And they didn't even do that, which is really kind of weird.
Oh, man. Well, he knows a lot about the Big Ten. Fox just put a lot of money into the Big Ten, right?
I mean, I guess.
I mean, yikes. All right. Maybe they got him on the cheap. Maybe that's it. Because they're spending so much money on the Big Ten, maybe they needed a little cost-cutting move, and this was the one that they found.
They took one out of the Vulcan playbook, huh?
The latest Tom Brady conspiracy theory. It's incredible. Danny Dusty on the Fan.
This is Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and Portland's sports leader, 1080, The Fan.
We were talking worst day on the web, and I think he's living his best life, but Tom Brady's still away from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Freudian slip there, buddy.
Wow. Yeah, I miss you, Tom. Come home. Come home. He's still away from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and his head coach, Todd Bowles, talked to the media, and he's basically saying, I don't know when he's going to be back. He's been gone since, remember, August 11th. He took a scheduled time away from the team.
Which is always interesting when you're taking a scheduled leave of absence.
Yep.
As a quarterback.
Now, this is an ambiguous time frame here, because what Bull said is that it has nothing to do with health and nothing to do with family.
Does Botox fall into either of those?
Ooh. No. No.
My man won a third cleft to his chin.
But he did add that it's something they talked about before training camp, and they're not sure if he's going to be back for the end of preseason.
Dun, dun, dun.
Where does that put this team? Where's Brady going to be?
Isn't this a Super Bowl contending team? You don't even know where your quarterback is? Turn on the iPhone tracking, dude.
They know where he is. I said this is a vacation at the beginning of it, and I think it's great if he is taking a vacation. He wanted to make sure his timing was good with his receivers. There was nothing out of sorts there, and he could just slide back in after, you know, taking 10 days off. He's 45 years old, for goodness sakes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Reddit has another theory.
My God, bless Reddit.
Reddit theory,
internet sleuthing,
says that Tom Brady might be on The Masked Singer.
If he turns out that SOB can sing, like legitimately sing, I'm gonna find a small animal to kick.
Now, this conspiracy theory, they may be onto something with this conspiracy
this
theory.
This isn't quite the detail of Jar Jar Binks is a Sith conspiracy Reddit, which I think is the greatest conspiracy theory to ever go down on Reddit.
That's a Star Wars guy who helps, and then they're saying is a bad guy?
They're saying is ultimately the worst guy in Star Wars. Like the evilest character of all time.
Got it.
It is it is a mile long Reddit thread.
Okay, that's ridiculous.
The original post.
See, Star Wars people go crazy.
I mean, the detail is so exquisite, it would blow your mind. But the details behind this, I will say this. When we get done, I have believed less crazy things.
Okay. Reason being, all right, The Masked Singer, Fall Run, it's going to be getting underway soon, right?
Mm-hmm.
We've seen that they have celebrities on it before, right?
Yes.
Antonio Brown's been on it.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Buck has been on
mm-hmm.
it. And remember, they're saying that this was scheduled because Tom Brady had this commitment on his calendar before he came out of retirement, right? All 40 days that he was out of retirement. You tell me this. What network is The Masked Singer on?
Is it the same one that tried to hire Tom Brady for their gig on the sideline or in the booth?
It is where there is a deal in place during his retirement where, you know, there was a contract negotiation.
$75 million?
Is that what it was?
Yeah, it was obscene.
It was a ridiculous amount of money that he was going to get to be the lead analyst for Fox's play-by-play,
right? That's why they went out and got Urban now.
Now, we already know they put people who work on the network on there on the Masked Singer. Did Tom Brady sign that deal back when he had his 40-day retirement with an agreement in there and a clause in there for his $375 million or whatever ungodly amount of money that he agreed to? Did he sign that with an agreement that he would go on the Masked Singer and this is when it was and he's just going to go out?
And use it as a part of a promo leading into football season.
Bum, bum, bum. That seems ridiculously unbelievable for a person who is truly obsessed with his craft and a psycho in preparation. But it is your 23rd training camp you've been through in your career. I'm saying that it's a conspiracy theory worth thinking about.
I mean, like I said, I've believed crazier things. It's definitely up there. And you know what? I had some folks reply here on our Worst Day on the Web poll.
Yeah.
I put up Tom Brady, Scott Frost, and Fox Sports.
Okay.
However, I should
have... It's a little ambiguous there because we don't know quite what the Fox Sports...
I think it's a combination of multiple things.
Bingo.
But, I think I found who's having the worst day. It has escalated very quickly. I talked about it. You and I talked about it off air with Marcelo Zuna.
Yeah.
Guess what just came out?
What?
The traffic stop footage.
No.
It's bad. It's really. He tried to Quintel Woods it.
No. Baseball card?
His MLB ID card.
No.
Yeah. Tried to give him a handshake too.
No.
Oh, it's bad.
He tried to shake the cop's hand. Okay, you don't know, Marcelo Zuna, DUI, got arrested.
Yeah, this morning. And Braves. Obviously, Ozuna is a guy who was out of baseball for a while because of, domestic violence?
Yeah, yes. That sounds right. I heard that in Jordan's update. That's bad news, Bears. Okay, I wonder if the audio is good because these are always.
When we go to the break, I'll pull the video.
Do you know who I am? My MLB card.
I'm Ozuna from the Braves.
Oh God, this is going to be fantastic. I can already tell it's going to be really good.
Yeah.
And by that, I mean terrible.
By terrible. Yes. 100%.
All right. We'll have that next hour. Plus talent wins. How much can coaching or an elite quarterback make up for some of the contenders' shortfalls? Ooh, Danny and Dusty on the Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.